Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, May 7th. So now let's talk about summer and how parents can navigate the reopening of travel options, summer camps, backyard barbecues, all available for those of us who are vaccinated. But even if the FDA approves the Pfizer vaccine for 12 and up, as it's expected to next week, that still means parents and caretakers of younger children will be navigating some bumpy terrain and trying to decide what the acceptable level of risk is for the kids in their care and for themselves, because it's not settled. For example, the CDC has set guidelines for summer camps that many think err on the side of too much caution. And New York Magazine found an epidemiologist and a pediatric immunologist who called the guidance cruel and draconian. Even Dr. Fauci acknowledged that they were a bit strict, his term, on the Today Show. So we've invited Dr. Daniel Griffin to join us again to talk through some of this. He's been on the front lines of the pandemic with his patients and advising doctors as an infectious disease clinician and a researcher at Columbia and chief of the Division of Infectious Disease at the ProHealth Medical Group. Hi, Dr. Griffin. Welcome back. Thanks for coming on again.
Oh, good morning. My pleasure, Brian.
So, doctor, I guess part of what makes this complicated is that the risk assessment for kids is different than for adults, given that kids are at a lower risk of serious symptoms, even if they're infected with COVID-19. So if the adults around them are vaccinated, then what constitutes risk?
No, I think that's a great question, Brian. And I love the way you phrase it, because it is clear that children are at lower risk. That is clear. But they're not at no risk. So we're trying to balance the fact that kids can get COVID. Kids can die of COVID. Kids can end up in the hospital and have long-term issues. But at the same time, it's really hard for these kids, right? Every summer you miss is a summer you're never going to get back. So we're trying to balance that. And I think the CDC is getting beaten up a little bit over their guidance here. And I think Anthony Fauci was the kindest by saying it was a bit strict. But hopefully we can go through this with the listeners, because this is challenging. How do we balance the risks with really the need and the desire of all these kids and their families to have an enjoyable summer 2021?
So does your advice differ from what the CDC is recommending? You've advised camps and sports teams.
I have advised them, and I continue to, and started in this space last summer. And actually, I think the largest camp that I advised was a camp with about 1,000 kids. And it was very successful. Smaller camps that had sort of more water exposure than others. Some were just purely land-based. What I think I should point out is that this is a very complicated document as far as the guidance goes. Some of it is really clear, and I'm on board with. The other, there's subtleties to it. So they strongly encourage vaccination. That's critical. They're also finally jumping in and really endorsing and saying there should be testing so that we're not bringing folks with COVID in there. But then I'm going to say there's subtleties of interpretation relative to masks, physical distancing, how we're going to do that. And to remember, this is guidance. The actual rules are going to come from the governors of the states about what is specifically required. What's the size of a cohort? When can we get those masks off? And the CDC is already starting to talk about certain circumstances, such as if the kids are vaccinated, if they're going to be in the water, you know, things like that. So the kids will not, even if you follow the strict interpretation of the CDC guidance, wearing masks, you know, 24 hours a day at these camps.
And I think that might be different than what people have heard, because one of the guidelines that seems to be drawing the most public criticism is that the CDC is recommending masking outdoors for children at summer camp outdoors, except when swimming. You're saying it's not that strict?
Well, so those are the two areas where I think the CDC is getting a lot of criticism, and it's masks and it's physical distancing, right? So they are saying, and this is a little stricter than I think a lot of people were hoping, that all people in camp facilities should be wearing masks at all time, with exceptions. And then they start laying out some of the exceptions. I've seen a lot of news articles where they say, oh my gosh, you know, no special needs kids will be able to go to summer camp. But they've clearly said anyone with trouble breathing, anyone who would not be able to get a mask off as needed, those people will not be required to wear a mask at all times. So they're already starting to say, let's use a little judgment here. This is not meant to be draconian. This is meant to allow us to say, the camps can open safely. We're just going to have to make decisions about masks and distancing. But I think, as you bring up, Brian, I think as we've all learned, outdoors is incredibly safe. If you move from indoors to outdoors, you've dropped your risk by 95%. A mask is an 80% reduction. So you got to start looking at these different layers. Vaccination, that's the nuclear option. That's really going to change their summer experience for so many kids.
Stephen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Dr. Griffin. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I think kids are pretty much safe, and the guidance from CDC have been giving us that even in school, they want us to be 3 feet apart instead of 6 feet apart. The kids don't have that much of mortality or even infection rate as an adult, and we really need to open the schools already a long time ago. But in my perspective, I want my kids to be out. I want them to be playing with other kids. I want them to be in camps. The camps probably wants to have, probably they need to have precautions of some sort, but I don't mind my kids to be around them. I'm sending them to the sleepaway camps. I'm sending them to Florida, to New Hampshire, to whatever. They have to be out there in the summer. They have to get back to the schools. They have to be back to the kids around them, get social. Yeah, I'm not really concerned about that COVID thing.
Stephen, thank you very much. Dr. Griffin, I don't know, maybe there's somewhere between Stephen and the CDC where you would come down. But another thing is go ahead. You want to comment on that call? Go ahead.
Oh, certainly, Brian. No, I mean, I think one of the things we say in public health is that when you succeed with your public health interventions, everyone says, oh, why did you worry so much? So success seems to invalidate things we do. And here in the U.S., even as a lot of people felt like Stephen, oh, kids, you don't have to worry about kids. A lot of the moms, I'm going to give moms credit so that the angry involved dads can call in. But the parents said, you know what, I am going to keep my kids safe. And doing everything we did, we shut down schools, we had the kids wear masks, we did these, you know, virtual learning programs. We still had hundreds of kids in the U.S. die. We still had thousands of kids end up in the hospital. You look at Brazil, where they didn't take this seriously in kids, and there wasn't a lot of mitigation. Thousands of kids died. Over 1,000 babies are dead. So I think that, you know, people have this perception, oh, you don't have to worry about the kids. We haven't seen a lot of kids die. We've seen 200 kids die in the U.S. alone. In my mind, that's a lot of kids. That's way too many. The reason the number is 200 and not 1,000 is because we've done all these things. And we don't want summer camp to be a place where we see kids dying. I mean, I think that we can do this safely, but we can certainly also do it unsafely. We do not want Stephen to say, oh, my gosh, I was wrong, because now we're seeing, you know, pictures of dead children at summer camps.
Dana in Mendham, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dana.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I was just wondering, I don't have a child who's old enough for summer camp yet, but I have a 10-month-old that I'm still nursing, and I'm fully vaccinated, and we're still trying to navigate how do we be around, like, other children in the family who can't get vaccines and other family members who might not be vaccinated yet, knowing that the baby might have passive protection, but knowing that there's not a guarantee for that either.
Doctor, can you advise Dana?
Oh, certainly. So Dana, great that you're vaccinated, and actually great that you're probably passively vaccinating your 10-month-old. You know, what the CDC came out and said, I think yesterday it was public, saying, you know, we give all this guidance, but you know what? For vaccinated people, it's a very different world. People who are vaccinated, particularly, you know, young mother like yourself, incredibly low risk of getting infected, also incredibly low risk of spreading it to others. So, you know, to carry this into the masking world, into the camps, but also for you, if you're vaccinated, if you're breastfeeding your baby, you're really low risk for these other individuals. And so the CDC has said, hey, small groups, vaccinated people, even indoors, the masks can be off. You can start hugging people. You can start spending time again. If you've got a high risk individual, let's say you've got that uncle in his 70s who has cancer, who's on certain medications, maybe there you want to make different decisions. But for a lot of us, it's going to be really much of a return to normal come July, particularly with vaccinations. And we're hoping come Tuesday, 6 a.m., we're going to hear an expansion of the EUA for the Pfizer vaccine down to kids 12. And if we hear 12 and all the way up, these kids can get vaccinated. The chocolate-covered carrot of vaccination is going to mean these kids are out there having fun with masks off. Maybe that's going to get rates low enough that those kids below there, maybe if the rates are low enough, we can start extending that freedom.
The chocolate-covered carrot. What flavor is the stick?
It's all covered in salt, Brian.
Salt and sugar and fat. The low risk of serious illness for kids, does it create a bit of an ethical dilemma when it comes to vaccinations? Are the children being vaccinated to protect their teachers and grandparents, for example, more than themselves?
So, Brian, I don't think they are, in all honesty. And I brought up the experience of Brazil. That destroys me to hear. They over 1,000 babies have died of COVID down there because they have not taken all these measures. I was talking with the head of our pediatric group, Jay Berger, the other day about a child he had just admitted to the ICU, a young kid in his teens. The kids can get COVID too. Kids can die of COVID. Kids can end up in the ICU. Kids can end up with long-term consequences where they can't concentrate in school. They can't participate in sports. Kids need to be protected as well. We do not know the long-term complications 10, 20 years from now if we let all our kids go out and get COVID.
Sarah in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you so much for talking about this. My entire family works at day camp, and we've been camp counselors for many years. And my real question is on the lakefront, are lifeguards going to be required to wear masks? My question is, the kids are unvaccinated. The lifeguards will be vaccinated, but having to jump in at a moment's notice with a mask on could be a safety issue.
Yeah, so that is a great question, and the CDC specifically addresses that. That's one of the settings or activities, as they say, such as eating, drinking, or swimming, right? If you're there trying to make sure these kids are safe, if you're going to have to jump in at a moment's notice, you don't want to be taking this time to pull off that mask. You want to be ready to go. CDC has clearly said the risk benefit here is get that mask off, be ready to jump in. You don't want to be jumping in the water and realizing you've got a wet mask that's impeding your ability to breathe, or the delay is preventing you from being able to keep these kids safe. So everything here is a risk benefit balance.
Ali in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Dr. Daniel Griffin. Hi there.
So thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to know about the vaccines. And I guess their availability to school-age children, how do we see this kind of being like the flu shot, similar to like where the children are going to need to take it on a regular basis? I know you're talking about summer plans, but do you have a view, I think, just kind of the way things are going, if we're expecting that this is going to be just like a mandate, the way other schools have said, or some universities have said that to come back? I know, Brian, you had the president of Rutgers on. Eventually, do we think that's going to be the mandate for children as well? And is this going to be like the flu shot where they're going to have to take it on a regular basis?
Thank you, Dr. Griffin.
Yeah, happy to address that sort of large picture thing. So, yes, we're already hearing from a lot of schools that they anticipate that come the fall, this will be a required, just like all the other vaccinations for school attendance. So we're seeing at university level, we're seeing that's probably going to extend down lower. One of the nice things I will say is Pfizer is now looking for full licensure. That sort of puts it into the normal paradigm we're used to. Not something EUA, but something fully licensed. We expect the other vaccines to follow suit. So this will be the normal paradigm. Hey, before you go off to college or school, there will be, required vaccinations. There'll be the normal exceptions, that we're used to over time. Now, will this be an every year? The interesting thing we saw, the really encouraging thing we saw, is kids, teenagers, adolescents, really have a robust response. The Pfizer data was incredible. They were following these kids, testing them weekly. None of the vaccinated kids tested positive. It may be that younger kids have a more durable response than adults, which would be fantastic. This may become one of our childhood vaccines. We'll see. The data is still going to follow. But hopefully this isn't something you have to get every year. But we'll see.
So is it safe for extended families to go on vacation together this summer with the unvaccinated kids and the vaccinated grandparents?
So I think, again, this is going to be sort of each person looking at a risk benefit. You know, as mentioned, kids, if you don't protect them, as we saw in Brazil, things can go really poorly. We want to keep those kids safe. I think it's going to be a no-brainer for 12 and on up. And if incidence rates get really low, it's going to depend where you want to go on vacation. If you're going to a place where there's really low rates, then I think that that's reasonable. If you're going to these large crowded areas in places that maybe do not have the control, the success that most of our country will have by July, that's a different scenario. But no, I think we can look forward for families really having a great summer.
The CDC guideline, tell me if this is right, vaccinated people can hang out with one unvaccinated household?
That sounds about right. And I think that, you know, one of the tough things, right, Brian, keeps moving forward, and it is moving forward. The guidance keeps changing, but the guidance is changing as we learn more and as those rates drop. And my anticipation is when we get to July, when rates here we're seeing in New York, percent positivity rates are below 2%. I think they'll be below 1% rather soon. We're sort of falling off a cliff thanks to the nuclear option of vaccines. Then things are going to be even more liberal.
Real quick, we have 30 seconds left. Your reaction to what we were talking about earlier in the show, Governor Cuomo's reopening of Broadway, full capacity, no vaccination requirement for the audience, September 14th. You good with that?
I have to say, you know, people by then, if you want to have a vaccine, you're going to be able to get it. If you choose not to be vaccinated, then you're taking a risk.
Dr. Daniel Griffin, researcher at Columbia and chief of the Division of Infectious Disease at the ProHealth Medical Group. Thank you for all your work and all your information again.
Oh, thank you. And everyone be safe.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.